Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she bent over into the tomb. She saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken my Lord, and I do not know where they have put him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but she did not know it was Jesus. And he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go and tell my brothers, I am going to my Father, to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary went and announced to his disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. The Gospel of the Lord. You might remember Sunday's Gospel. Day before yesterday, we had the 20th chapter of John, and this gospel today is the sequence from the text of last Sunday. The text of last Sunday, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb, finds out the tomb is empty, she's in crisis, and she runs back, and she tells the disciples that the tomb is empty. And Peter and the one that Jesus loved go running to the tomb. And they come to the tomb, and the one that Jesus loved, he's younger, he runs faster, but he doesn't go in. Peter goes in. The sign of Peter's primacy. Then after Peter goes in, the beloved disciple goes in, and it says he sees and he believes. And then they leave. But Mary Magdalene stays. The woman stays. And now we have today's gospel, where she's weeping at the tomb, and Jesus appears to her and tells her, "Go and tell my disciples," okay? Now, what's very interesting about this is that, keeping in mind that the gospels were written in a patriarchal culture, and all scripture scholars remind us of what's called life situation, sits in Leben, life situation, which means since the gospel was shaped in a patriarchal culture, it has all of the adornments, all of the patriarchal traditions are part of the shaping of the gospel. It was written for men, by men. You have to keep that in mind. Therefore, we have to, in some way, draw it out of the patriarchal culture 2,000 years ago and bring it into context today. Now, that's very important, because if you just read it literally, you're reading what belongs to a culture far distant from us. So we have to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us courageously, imaginatively, to take the gospel of 2,000 years ago, the words of the gospel, and draw them into the present moment. So let me just take a quick look at the Gospel of John, the mystical Gospel of John, and the extraordinary attention that John gives to women. Now, we're still in a patriarchal culture in the church. Most of the decisions about canon law and all are all made by male celibates. Women don't get much attention in terms of decision-making in the church. We had a woman run this parish for 12 years, and she did a great job. I think we all knew Cambria. But that's unusual. I think we're the only parish that had a woman for 12 years. But take a look at what John teaches us about women. Look at chapter 4 in the Gospel of John. Remember, Jesus met the Samaritan woman. We're all familiar with the Samaritan woman, 5 times married, living with a man. He treats us with great respect. He honors her, the woman. And by the way, if you read the text of that sequence, when his disciples come back, they're alarmed that he's speaking to a woman. Read the text, that's what it says. They were really surprised he's speaking to a woman. Not the Samaritan, but a woman. Read on in John's Gospel. In chapter 8 in John's Gospel, remember the woman caught in adultery. And the men all accuse her she should be stoned. But Jesus treats this woman with great, great respect. Has no one condemned you? I do not condemn you. The woman. Look at chapter 11 in John's Gospel, for instance, and you'll find Martha and Mary, clearly very close friends of Jesus. And in chapter 11, you have the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But there are many references to Martha and Mary and how Jesus is very close to Martha and Mary, especially if you read sensitively, you'll find that he's very close to Mary. Martha is the manager. Mary is the listener. Mary is the one who understands, who has insight. And then we come here to Mary Magdalene. She is the first one to announce the good news of the resurrected Jesus. It's amazing. And if we study the Gospel of John, you'll find the extraordinary prominence of women in the messianic life of Jesus. It's worth keeping that in mind because we're in an age of emerging women in the life of the church. And in a way, it's kind of an uphill struggle for the women. But study the Gospel of John and you'll find the significance of women. Now, could it be that women were really more faithful to Jesus, more faithful than the men? She stays at the tomb. She weeps. Peter and the beloved disciple come, empty tomb. Okay, let's go home. But the woman finds the empty tomb. She doesn't leave. It's the fidelity of the woman. At the foot of the cross, the women are there. The beloved disciple is there, but the women are there. His disciples, his close co-workers, the ones he chose, they're all gone. So who's with Jesus faithfully? The women. But keep that in mind. Certainly in the Gospel of John, shaped now, keep in mind, in a patriarchal culture. John, the mystical Gospel of John. But John gives special attention to women and how in God's divine providence, women carry the message of the risen Jesus Christ. It's probably true today. I mean, the shaping of the church today, if we took women out of the church today, the church would totally collapse. Women are the faithful ones. Keep that in mind. Divine revelation in a special way in the Word of God and perhaps in the ecclesial life of the church is revealed through women. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer. My good friend and extraordinary, wonderful man, Dr. Milt Smith, died last night. Milt was a wonderful, wonderful man, a convert, long time member of Holy Family. And I'll have his funeral on Saturday, I hope. So we keep a prayer for Milt. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace.